So the title of the sermon is John chapter 21. So a quick summary of the last chapter before we begin John chapter 21. So in the last chapter, John chapter 20, we saw Mary Magdalene come to the tomb of Jesus. She sees the stone has been taken away and she runs to Peter and John and tells them. And she says, they have taken the Lord's body and we don't know where they have laid Him. John 20 verse 3. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. So John stoops down and he looks into the tomb and sees the linen clothes that are lying there. So Peter comes next and goes right into the tomb and sees the linen and the napkin that was around Jesus' head. So John then goes in and he believes. So he didn't know the scripture that says Jesus would rise from the dead, but John still believed. John 20 verse 8, then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So Peter and John then leave and they go back to their own home. So Mary Magdalene stands there weeping and looks into the sepulchre. She sees two angels inside the tomb where Jesus had lain, and the angel speaks to her. And they ask her, why is she crying? And she says, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where He is. So Jesus then shows up, and He asks her why she's crying, and she doesn't know that it's Jesus at first. She thinks that He's a gardener. John 20, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So Jesus tells Mary to not touch Him, but to go tell His brethren that He's alive. So He isn't yet ascending to His Father, and there's many things that He needs to do in this time that He has left. So what's Mary do? She does what He asks. She goes and tells the disciples. And do they believe her? No, they don't believe her. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus shows up there to the disciples in person on the same day of His resurrection. But Mary Magdalene saw Jesus first. Jesus says, peace be unto you. So He shows them proof that He is who He says He is. They witnessed Him die on the cross, and now He's standing there right directly in front of them. And the disciples were glad. So something very significant happens there in John chapter 20. If you remember, verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So this is the first time the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is given after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ and is the Spirit of truth. So He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And what do? They breathe in His Spirit. That means the Spirit indwells them. So now you can have peace because God is always with you. He's living inside of you. So we see that Thomas, the disciple, misses out on this because he wasn't there. So 8 days later, remember it's 8 days later, Jesus shows up again with Thomas and proves to Thomas that He's alive. John 20, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. But it took Jesus showing up in person to Thomas to prove that He was alive. So He wouldn't take the disciples' word for it, would He? He had to see it Himself. So He wanted to see Jesus with His own eyes. John 20, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So remember, do not be like Thomas. Just take God's word for it. This happened, so believe it. So at the very end of John chapter 20, we see a very important Bible verse. So the last verse gives us the purpose of the book of John. And this is why the Gospel of John was written. It's so you would do all these great works and work your way up the stair steps to heaven, right? Is that why the book of John was written? No. Watch what this says, John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And watch what you get just by believing that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Savior. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When you believe that, you will receive eternal life. So some choose to believe, and most choose not to believe. So those who choose to believe will live forever. Those who don't will be dead forever. And not just dead, but tormented in hell because they wouldn't trust God, who is responsible for their life. Hey, you're only living on this earth. You only receive life because God gave it to you. So they wouldn't trust or believe on the one who gave His life for them. So it's very simple to be saved right now. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the book of John was written. So read through it and believe what it says and be saved. So with that quick summary of John chapter 20, let's start in verse 1 of John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. So look, after Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week, He stayed on earth for how many days? 40 days, right? 40 is the number of completion in the Bible. So at the end of the 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. But before He does so, we see Jesus show Himself many times to many different people. So He's showing Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So where is the Sea of Tiberias? So the Sea of Tiberias is what? It's the Sea of Galilee. So you'll see it towards the middle top of that map right there. So you see Nazareth to the west and a little south of the Sea of Galilee. So notice in the south is Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and the Dead Sea. But remember, Galilee is in the north, Samaria is in the middle, and Judea is in the south. So Israel is the northern kingdom after King Solomon, and Judah is the southern kingdom, right? So after King Solomon, they split. Israel's in the north, Judah's in the south. So if you look a little closer at the Sea of Galilee in the north, you'll see this. So we're zooming in. If I go back one, so that Sea of Galilee, that's the Sea of Tiberias. I'm going to zoom in on it right here. This is a closer picture. So do you see Tiberias on the west bank of the Sea of Galilee there? John 20 is taking place around there. This is the Sea of Tiberias. So the disciples, what are they going to be doing there? They're going to go fishing in the Sea of Galilee. In John chapter 6, we learn that Sea of Tiberias and Sea of Galilee are the same place. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So Sea of Galilee equals Sea of Tiberias. So Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days after He arose from the dead. But remember this, where did Jesus die on the cross? So if we just go back one, right? And back another one, where did Jesus die on the cross? All the way in the southern country in Jerusalem, right? So now He's all the way up there in the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 28, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. But watch what it says next, verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So we know after he arises from the dead that he's going north to Galilee. But the disciples should already know this, because earlier in Matthew chapter 26, we see this in verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So he already told them these things. So Jesus is going to Galilee, and in John chapter 21, we see this happen at the Sea of Tiberias. Acts 1, verse 3, you should know what's going to happen in Acts chapter 1. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Do you see that? He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus was seen of the disciples during those 40 days after he arose from the dead. And he was seen by many other witnesses too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, verse 6. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, means some of them have died. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also. Who's speaking right there? Paul, as of one born out of due time. So please keep in mind that John chapter 21 is during the 40 days after Jesus arose from the dead. So at the end of the 40 days, Jesus is going to ascend into heaven to be with his Father. So, but we're not yet to that ascension of Jesus into heaven. So let's see what happens in John chapter 21, verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So who was there in John chapter 21? Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. The sons of Zebedee are who? James and John. And who's writing the book of John? That John. That's the John. So of course, John is there in person when John chapter 21 is taking place. Seven disciples are there in total. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So Peter, what does he do for a living? Peter's a fisherman. He says, I'm going fishing. So some of the others there, hey, they were also fishermen. They all go out together fishing that night. And what do they catch that night? Nothing. They don't catch anything, so I guess, you know, they weren't very good fishermen, right? Matthew 4, verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. If you all remember this, this is when he's seeing them the first time. Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we see that Peter and Andrew right there are fishermen. Jesus says, follow me, and we're going to go fishing for men. Matthew 4, next verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So James and John, the sons of Zebedee, guess what they are? They're fishermen. So they leave the fishing and they follow Jesus instead. Now all the way forward to John chapter 21, we see them go back to fishing. So in that time, you know, it's been a good amount of time, they must have forgot how to fish or catch actual fish because they've been catching men, right? So they caught nothing that night. John 21 verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. So it's now morning time. They went out all night. Jesus asked them, hey, have you caught anything? They say, nope, we haven't caught one thing. So they didn't know that was Jesus that was standing there asking them at this point. John 21 verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So Jesus does another miracle right there. Cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So and what happens? They were not able to draw the net in because of the great number of fish that they caught. And this should remind you of Luke chapter 5, where we see something very similar. And Luke chapter 5 is going back in time before Jesus died on the cross. So something similar to this has already happened before. So they should remember this. Luke 5 verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So there's another name for that same sea. Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, Sea of Tiberias. All of those are the same lake or the same sea. Luke 5 continuing in the very next verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So this is Simon Peter, or Peter as we call him most of the time. Jesus says, let down your nets to draw fish in. Luke 5 verse 5, next verse. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. In other words, we ain't going to catch any fish, but I'm going to do what you say anyway. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. So we see Peter is there with Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Who else is there in Luke chapter 5, verse 7? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So John, who is writing this, is fishing partners with Peter. And look, they're together a lot in the Bible. So look, the same thing is happening here in John chapter 21 that's already happened before. And they didn't know that it was Jesus at first, right? But I'm sure this is going to trigger one of them to remember this because it's already happened before, something just like this. So that now they can't draw in the net that is full of fish. So let's go back to the story in John chapter 21, verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So John remembers, doesn't he? Hey, I know that's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. So John looks at Peter and says, hey, it's the Lord. So Peter's so happy, he puts on his fisher's coat, jumps into the sea and goes to see Jesus. Jesus is over on land. He's like, I want to see Jesus. He jumps out and swims. So Peter doesn't care about the fish. He wants to go see Jesus. This tells you the kind of man that Peter was, right? Like, hey, when somebody's coming for Jesus, he pulls out a sword, chops it off. When they're running to the tomb, he's going to get there first. He's not scared. Goes right into the tomb. Here, he jumps right out of the boat and goes for Jesus. Doesn't care about the fish. So notice that Jesus tells them to cast the net down on the right side of the ship. On the right side of the ship. So when they do what Jesus asks, they pull up a ton of fish. So when we go out fishing for men, we need to do it the right way and find the right people, okay? So when we go out in the world each day, we need to do the things how Jesus commands us to do them, right? We need to do it the right way. If not, then we can't expect any good in return. So if we want to do it our way, don't expect good in return. John 21, verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So the other disciples, what do? They come in a little ship to help gather all of these fish, and they weren't that far from land. Do you see that? So 200 cubits is about 300 feet from shore. So Peter didn't have that far to swim when he jumped out. He had about 300 feet probably. John 21, verse 9, continuing. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So fish was already cooking on the shore before they bring the other fish there. So there's also bread there. Jesus says, hey, bring the other fish too. So they're going to have a meal. So did you know that Jesus eats fish? So Jesus eats meat. And it's true. Luke 24, verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Hey, he ate broiled fish. He didn't eat deep fried fish. He ate broiled fish. So this is Jesus eating in his glorified body. So this shows us that we're going to be eating in our glorified bodies. Do you all see that? So we see Jesus eat fish right here. Fish is definitely meat. So is it wrong to eat meat? No, it's not wrong. So you need to watch out for all the so-called Christian denominations who say that it's wrong to eat meat. So Seventh-day Adventists are one of those so-called Christian denominations. So, hey, guess what? Are they Christian? No, they're not Christian. Seventh-day Adventists are not Christian. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Remember, they say they don't sin anymore. And doctrines of devils. They say Jesus is Michael the archangel. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Seventh-day Adventists, listen, they teach doctrines of devils. They say that they no longer sin. Is that the truth? Is there any man that can go on this earth without sinning unless they're Jesus Christ? So since Adam and Eve, you know what they're saying? Since Adam and Eve, hey, they didn't eat meat before they sinned. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't eat meat. So Seventh-day Adventists are saying, well, we're like that now. We don't sin anymore. So we're not going to eat meat. That's called a doctrine of the devil. They're only deceiving themselves. I mean, come on. You never have a bad thought? So you don't sin at all anymore? Like the proof is in your own head. And you're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving anybody else. So watch what 1 Timothy chapter 4 that we're reading in right here. We're going to continue. Watch what it says in the next verses. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So God says that these people will command you to abstain from meats. Well, who are those people? Well, one of them is the Seventh-day Adventist. But God has created those meats to be received with thanksgiving for those who know the truth. So every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So we see Jesus eating meat in His sinless body. Jesus has never sinned, and He eats meat. So that argument about, oh, Adam and Eve, you know, they didn't eat meat before they sinned. They only ate meat after they sinned. Well, Jesus has never sinned, and He eats meat. Did He not? So some people will even argue that fish doesn't count as meat. Well, that's crazy talk. You're going to say that's not meat? But let's say Jesus ate beef. Would you still argue about that if He ate beef? So we see Jesus show up to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and eat beef. Genesis 18 verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Some people say, well, that's not Jesus. Well, let's just keep reading. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. Do you remember where they're passing on to? Sodom and Gomorrah, right? For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So what did Abraham go get? He fetches a calf, tender and good, and told the young man, hey, get that calf ready to eat. That's what he's saying right here. Genesis 18, verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So we see Jesus right there eating beef, and we saw him eating fish in Luke chapter 24. So Jesus ate and he drank in his resurrected body. This means that he wasn't in a spirit body. He was in his actual body, right? He's in his glorified body, and he eats and he drinks in that body. So he proved he is risen from the dead in his body, right? That's the whole point of all this. That's why he's eating fish. And he's not a vegetarian in his newly resurrected body. Thank God. He is not a vegetarian. Acts 10, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Hey, they ate with him and they drank with him. So Jesus wasn't a ghost or a spirit after he died on the cross. He arose in his body. That's why his body wasn't in the grave. They couldn't find his body. That's why it wasn't there. Why is that? Because he was walking around in his body. Say, where's the body of Jesus? It's not there. Well, he's walking around in it. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a bodily resurrection. So did you know the Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? That means they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe what's written in the Bible. This means what? They are not Christian. What are they? They're evil. That's what they are. So did you also know that more and more so-called Christians, this is the truth today, more and more of them say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen. Do you all realize that? More and more are saying it. Does it surprise you? It shouldn't. Look what's happening in the world today. Shouldn't surprise you at all. So Martin Luther King Jr., a so-called Baptist preacher, said the resurrection didn't happen. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So there's a point to Jesus arising from the dead. At this time, right now, at this time, He's the only one who has risen from the dead in a new and glorified body. This means He fulfilled the first fruits within the Bible. He arose from the dead in His body. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm skipping down a few verses to 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hey, Jehovah's Witness, did you see that? They say, well, it wasn't in His body. They say it was just spiritual. No, it wasn't. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You all need to see this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. So when Christ comes in the clouds at the rapture, all the saved up to that point in time will arise in their new bodies. They're going to have new and glorified bodies just like Jesus Christ did. So when we're going to eat and drink in our new bodies just like Jesus did, and guess what we're going to be eating? Meat. We will be eating meat. So if Jesus didn't arise in His body, the Bible says your faith is in vain and your sins are not forgiven. So if He didn't arise in His body, then you're not forgiven of your sins. Hey, that should scare the Jehovah's Witness, because they say He didn't arise in His body. Martin Luther King Jr. should have actually read His Bible. Obviously, he didn't read it. So the Jehovah's Witness, they're not listening to God's words. They make up their own so-called Bible. It is not the Word of God. They like to change the words. It's the Word of man. They're like, well, let's go back to the Greek. Well, do you know Greek? No. Well, then why are you going back to the Greek? Why are you going to show me what the Greek means when you don't even know Greek? Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you see what that says? You must believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Then you will be saved. If not, then you're not saved. It's that simple. So that's for the Jehovah's Witness. Say, well, we believe He was raised spiritually. Well, then you don't believe He was raised from the dead in His body. That's what it takes. 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Hey, there's many spirits of Antichrist out there. So do you see that? Jehovah's Witness have the spirit of Antichrist. It's not the same Jesus. They might use the same name. It's some other Jesus, because their Jesus didn't arise from the dead in His flesh. They're saying that's not our Jesus. And they're right. It's a different one from the real one. They got some fake one that isn't alive, isn't breathing, doesn't exist. So they won't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They say that He wasn't raised in His flesh. So it's important to know that Jesus ate and drank in His body after the resurrection. He liked fish. Jesus says in John chapter 21, "Bring the fish." That's what He says. John 21 verse 11, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." So look, they must have counted the exact number because there were so many. They were excited. That's why you see 153 fish in total, and the net did not break this time. It was full of great fishes. So many times in Bible study, we try to make more out of something than what's actually there. 153 fishes is 153 fishes. Some people try to make up something that, 153 means there were 153 people saved at this time, and 153 of this, and that's blah, blah, blah. Okay? You can't add all this stuff into the Bible. So there's no other significance of that 153 when comparing Scripture with Scripture. It's just, hey, they were excited. Hey, there's 153 fish right there. What do you do when you catch a ton of fish like that? You probably start counting them to say, hey, we caught 153. So that's what it meant. They simply caught 153 great fishes, and the net did not break at all. So John 21 verse 12, "Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise." So Jesus says, hey, come and eat. They knew it was Jesus. Jesus gives them bread to eat and fish to eat. You know, some people say, well, bread's bad for you. No, it's not. Jesus gave them bread. They didn't ask Jesus who He was. They didn't ask His name. So to show you that Jesus is in the Old Testament, like we saw in Genesis chapter 18, watch this, okay? Genesis 32 verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Skipping down to verse 29, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" Like, why do you need to know my name? "And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So we know that no man has seen God the Father at any time. Well, obviously in John chapter 21, they're seeing Jesus, who is God, right? Face to face. They're going to eat with Him. So when Jacob saw God face to face, and he wanted to know His name, who do you think that was right there? It's obviously not God the Father, because no man has seen Him. That's Jesus Christ right there. So Jacob says, hey, what's your name? Well, the name of Jesus is secret until this Scripture in Luke 1 verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Jesus." So an angel of the Lord comes to Mary and tells her that His name is going to be Jesus. She didn't get to pick the name. The angel of the Lord told her what it was going to be. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Mary knows his name, and now Joseph knows his name. His name was a secret until that point right there. But in John chapter 21, the disciples don't ask his name. They don't ask who he is because they already know who he is. John 21 verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So he showed himself to the disciples on the day of his resurrection when Thomas wasn't there. Remember that? Then he showed himself 8 days later when Thomas was there. And now this is the third time when the disciples and Jesus are together. Third time right here. So it wasn't just one time. So the disciples as a group saw him multiple times together. So they witnessed his resurrection and they believed in his resurrection because they saw it with their own eyes, right? That's why they believed. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So look, they have dined, the Bible says. They've already eaten. Jesus says, Do you love me more than these? So do you love me more than these others love me? So do you love me more than you love your brothers there? Like, who do you love, Peter? Is it me? Or do you love all of these over here more? Peter doesn't say he loves Jesus more than he loves the others. Is that what he says? Or that he loves the others more than Jesus? He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, Feed my lambs. John 21, verse 16, Feed my lambs is what he says. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So same thing as the previous verse, but Jesus says, Feed my sheep versus feed my lambs. John 21, verse 17, He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So this must be important. He says this three times. But notice Peter says, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. So Peter already knows that Jesus knows all things. What does that tell you? Peter knows that Jesus is God. And Jesus says again, Feed my sheep. So we know that Peter lived. I want you to see this. Peter lived for many years after Jesus ascended. Did you know that? He lived many years after Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus wants Peter to feed his sheep. So they are the sheep of Jesus. They are not Peter's sheep. Jesus said, They're mine. Feed my sheep. So Peter is going to care for the sheep of Jesus. Psalm 78, verse 71, From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Jeremiah 3, verse 15, And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So Jesus is asking Peter to feed his sheep with knowledge and understanding. Not with food, with knowledge and understanding. Peter has the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, but he'll also have the Holy Ghost come upon him in Acts chapter 2. So Peter has a special anointing right here from Jesus Christ to feed the sheep of Jesus. Jeremiah 23, verse 4, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So notice this says, they shall not be lacking any more. None at all. And what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. John 10, verse 27. You tell me if this is called lacking anything. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So this means you're saved once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means it's a done deal, right? The deal's complete. It's over. So there's nothing left to do for eternal life, because you have everlasting life. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You lack nothing that you need. That's what this means. God dwells within you. What else do you need? So look, Jesus is telling Peter to continue to feed his sheep. So his sheep are who? Those who believe on him. And Peter does this, but Peter could have made the choice, hey, I'm not going to do this. And there's many so-called pastors that are making that same choice today, right? They make the choice to either feed them with knowledge from the Word of God or not. And most of them, what have they chosen? They've chosen smoke machines, flashing lights, and a rock concert during each service. That's what they're choosing instead of focusing on the Word of God. Do you see the difference? Peter didn't do that. He focused on the Word of God. So Ezekiel 34, verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." Skipping down to verse 5, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." Hey, that's what's happening today. They're getting eaten alive by these false preachers everywhere. "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." So Jesus is telling Peter to not be like this. That's what he's saying. Don't be like this right here. Be a good shepherd of my flock. That's what Jesus is telling him. So if you don't want to be a good shepherd to his people, listen to this. This is from the Bible. It's a warning. Ezekiel 34, verse 10. "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds." Hey, that's the worst words you can ever hear. God Almighty against you. He says, "Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." Hey, that's what's happening in this world today. God says He will be against those shepherds who simply look out for themselves. Hey, what's that mean? They're using the sheep. They take everything from the sheep and they give the sheep nothing. They don't give them knowledge, understanding. They don't care about the Word of God. They just want the sheep's money. They want everything. They want power from the sheep. Well, hey, let's get powerful people in here so they can give me some of their power. Give me some of their money. That's what the so-called pastors are doing today, and it's wicked and it's evil. But God says, what's He say right here? "Don't worry, my sheep." He says, "I will
deliver you. He goes, I'll take you right out of their mouths, right? He will deliver you. So God is coming back to get us. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Do you think God's going to find you? As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So guess what? Hey, we've been scattered abroad. Take a look. So it's tough to find those who truly love the one true God, is it not? Go try to find them out there. Hey, they've all been scattered. So it's tough to find those who will stand up for God and do the right thing according to His words. But God's coming back for us to gather us all together in the clouds one day. Hey, He knows where we all are. And one day we're all going to be gathered together. Thank God for that. Ezekiel 34, next verse. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. Not Wyoming, our own land, right? All together, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Doesn't that sound great? I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Hey, He's going to feed us, and He's going to let us rest. Do you see that? So that day is coming, and we have no idea when it's going to be here, but it's coming, and I can't wait for that day. So what's Jesus doing? Why was that so important? Jesus is telling Peter to feed his sheep so we aren't scattered like we are today, right? That's why he said it three times. This is very important because Jesus needed Peter to do this job that he's given him to do. So watch what Jesus says to Peter in the next verses, verse 18 in John chapter 21. Verily, verily, right? Hey, truly, truly, this is the truth. This is the truth. I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You need to pay attention to that verse. 19, this spake he. Like, what was that talking about? Well, the Bible's going to tell you in verse 19 what that was about. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Who? Peter. By what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus is telling Peter right there what death he's going to die. So he's prophesying to Peter. So church tradition that we really don't pay much attention to, but hey, some of it's probably the truth. So church tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down because Peter says he didn't deserve to die upright as Jesus Christ did. That's what church tradition says. I have no idea if that's true, right? No idea how Peter died because it's not written in the Scriptures. But verse 18 is telling us how Peter would die, and it depends how you interpret that Scripture right there. So it's not an easy Scripture to understand. We do know that Peter is going to live for a good amount of time. He's not going to die soon. We know this because Jesus tells him, but when thou shalt be old. Do you see that? He says, Peter, you'll stretch forth your hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee where you don't want to go. So to me, that's Peter stretching forth his hands, right? And somebody taking him away, like taking him to prison or something. So we know that Peter went to prison in the book of Acts, but he escapes prison with God's help. So he could have died being crucified, right? With his arms stretched out to the side. That could be what that means. So we don't know for sure how he died, but he doesn't have to worry about dying very soon, right? Because he says you're going to be old. So why? Because he's got time to go out and feed the sheep of Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus is telling him right there. John 21, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? We know that's John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Talking about, hey, what's John going to do? So John, the writer of the book, is the one whom Jesus loved and the one who leaned on Jesus and asked him who would betray them. Remember that? So that happened in John chapter 13. So we know that this is talking about John. So Peter turns about, sees John coming up behind them, and Peter looks at Jesus and says, hey, what about John? What shall this man, John, do? And Peter and John were very close. So watch what the next verse says, 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is this? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So some of the other disciples thought Jesus said right there that John would never die. If I will that he tarry till I come. He's saying, if he lives until I come, like if he's alive until I come again, what's that to you? Saying it doesn't matter. Jesus didn't say he would live until he comes back again. Jesus didn't say John wouldn't die, but we do know that John lived a long time because he wrote the book of Revelation for us later. Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, don't worry about John. You just follow thou me. Right? That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, don't worry about John. What's it matter if he never dies? Right? That's what he's saying. So John lived a long time, but we know that he didn't live until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So John is alive right now in heaven, but we know that his body isn't alive, right? We already know that. He lived a long time ago. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we don't need to worry about the secret things that belong to the Lord, like the seven thunders, right, in the book of Revelation. Peter didn't need to know what John would be doing or what type of death John would die. So those things weren't revealed to Peter at that time because it wasn't the right time. So we simply need to follow the words of the Lord, just like Jesus told Peter to follow him. That's what Jesus was saying right there. Don't follow others. Don't worry about them. Follow Jesus Christ. So when you do that, hey, you'll never be lost. Isn't that nice to know? Well, what should I do? Who should I follow? What book should I read? Should I read this book? All these people are like, what books do I need to read? What do I need to do? Hey, follow Jesus Christ and you'll never get lost. So don't follow other people. And we do know that Peter had a little bit of trouble doing that. Did he follow Jesus Christ perfectly? Hey, we all have trouble. But Peter sure had some trouble. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. This is Paul writing. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was still fearing the Jews. So Paul withstood Peter to the face, because what was Peter doing? He was dividing the believing Jews from the believing Gentiles. That means Peter was caring for some of the sheep, but not for the other sheep. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. He meant all of them. So Galatians 3, verse 28, There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So Peter wasn't fully doing what Jesus asked him to do. So Paul withstood Peter to his face. And Peter's probably like, well, hey, I was with Jesus. You weren't with him. Paul said, I don't care. Hey, I saw Jesus just like you did. So let's finish out the entire book of John right here with the last two verses in John chapter 21. And we're going to be done with the book of John. John 21, verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is false. Is that what it says? True. No, it's true, right? We know that it's true. So we know that John wrote this book, and we know everything that he wrote in this book is truth. So there are no lies in this book, though, right? So so-called pastors are calling John a liar, though, constantly, over and over and over. They're calling John a liar. But John says, oh, no, we know the testimony is true. So the book of John says you can receive everlasting life by doing what? By believing on Jesus Christ alone. Hey, that's the only requirement, but that's too easy for all the false lying preachers out there, right? That's too easy. Oh, easy believism. Oh, once saved, always saved. Oh, this, hey, none of that's true. Hey, well, John said it's true. So they call John a liar, but I do not call John a liar, and I will not call John a liar, because why? John is my brother in Jesus Christ. I will not call him a liar, and I trust everything he says because I know what he says right here is true. The book of John is true. Every word is true. John 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Just like all the laws they make in this world today, they could fill up the whole world with their books of law. Hey, well, Jesus can do the same thing with all the miracles that he did. So there were more miracles and things that Jesus did that aren't written in the Bible. So the world couldn't contain the books that should be written. And guess what? We'll have eternity to find out all the things that Jesus has done, because I want to know about all of them. So those things will make us happy and joyful, as the book of John has done for us. So the book of John is what helped me, right? This book of John is written to save people through believing what this book says. So we thank God for the book of John, because we know through this book that we have everlasting life. And you can too, right? If none of you have done that before, you can have eternal life right now by believing on Jesus Christ, and you'll receive everlasting life in a moment, just like that. With that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of John. We thank you for helping us to get through this study of the book of John, verse by verse. And we've learned so much from this book. We saw things that we've never seen before. We thank you for showing all those things to us. And we will be back to the book of John. Read it, study it more, learn more, just as you tell us to do. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who gave his life for us, who sacrificed himself for us. And we believe that he is risen from the dead in his body. And because we believe that, we believe he is the Son of God, and you've given us everlasting life. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.